Hey, everybody. This is Colin McMahon. This is Pittsburgh Podcast, episode 13.3, due to some technical disabilities. Well, and we'll introduce everybody starting to my left.
Sugar Shane.
Joe F., Lucky 13. Ryan Sargent.
Adam Russell.
Jeremy Dan.
Matt.
Sean Wheatley.
Nick Pirelli.
Thanks, Nick. One of the things I wanted to talk about today, I always, when I get home with the new books, especially on, well, I do it Tuesday night because I'm lucky, but when I pull the books out of the bag, there's always certain books that always jump to the top. Or when I'm looking at what's coming out that week or the next week, there's certain books that I always am excited about, seeing the new ones coming. So I figured, hey, let's talk about that, because the books that I like aren't necessarily the same books that other people like. It might be interesting to get a different perspective of what different people like and maybe something that you might want to try. We'll probably also talk a little about Captain America movie now that I think quite a few of us have seen it. And we'll probably venture into some other things as we typically do. So I'm going to open this up to the floor. Joe cannot go first because he is overly prepared. So who wants to go first? Nick, what's your favorite book came out this week?
Boy, let me tell you about why I like to Ken.
Are you sure that's how you pronounce it? I've only seen that word written.
Yeah. No, I do like that book, but I feel like there's probably somebody more prepared to talk about that. But this is just a guess. I mean, there's no, you know, planning. For me, for my top of the pile, you know, I actually pull books based, it's not always the same. It's whatever has the best cliffhanger. Prior to, you know, those are the books that really, you know, jump to the top. And after that, usually crossovers, like the main miniseries for a crossover jumps up. And then after that, it's books. But if I just want to pick one book that's really been doing it for me lately, we can go around here. It would be Hickman's FF. It's been a real, you know, it's been real interesting. The last two issues have kind of completely become a new book. And they haven't been my favorite issues, but I do like the Inhumans a lot, so that's something for me, and it needs to be fleshed out. And they were originally FF characters, so I think that a lot of this stuff has been building towards that. But I think that overall, that the Hickman's Fantastic Four leading into FF has been, you know, issue after issue of surprises. That pulls a knowledge of the whole Marvel Universe and puts characters together in situations that I haven't seen before, which is rare for FF book, because usually somebody jumps on and they just do their version of the same, you know, three or four Fantastic Four archetype stories. So, yeah, I mean, it's big picture. It ties into a lot of the other stuff he's been doing. Subtly, you don't need to read other Hickman books, but if you do, you appreciate the things he's been weaving through, and that's a book that's been solid for me.
Who's been the breakout character
of that series?
Yeah.
What's his name? Alex, I think, from
the Power
Alex
Pack.
Power Pack.
That's cool. Valeria.
Yeah. Valeria's been amazing, but I mean, Mark Waid did some cool Valeria stuff too. But yeah, Valeria is the X factor of that book. She's you know, you don't know where she's coming from. You don't know how she thinks. She's somebody like Reed Richards, but without the ability, the maturity, and the wisdom to ground her. So it's just super ego and intelligence running wild, making decisions without, you know, consulting anybody else. She is a fascinating character for sure.
That's really cool.
Yeah, that's actually been like my number three book.
Oh, yeah?
Over the past year. And although I find it to be frustrating sometimes, because for me, I think that the characterization and the side stories and all that stuff is way more interesting and easier to understand than the main story. So right now, I got all these reeds flying around, different time streams. I'm like, I have no clue about what is going on there, but I don't care because I know I'm going to get a couple pages of Sue, a couple pages of the kids. I'm even starting to... Gargoyle? Is that the...
Dragon Man.
Dragon Man. Oh, I haven't got his name yet, but at least...
Well, that's okay. He's purple.
So, I mean,
the book almost deserves another book, you know? Like,
it
deserves
that.
More time.
What do you guys think of Spider-Man
so
in that book?
So much going on.
So, I liked that book up until issue 5. Well, 7 just came out last week, right? So, I liked it up through issue 5. I thought 6 and 7 If 8 is along the same lines as 6 and 7, it's getting dropped.
Mm.
It just really, this whole Inhumans and the whole, like, I don't even know, prophecy of him coming back, just...
Who coming
the
back?
The five Black wives. Bolt,
yeah. And the wives and all that, it's just...
Isn't he the Serpent King? Oh, wait, other...
It just... Sorry. It just doesn't interest me.
Spoilers on.
I'm losing it, losing interest.
I think it's tying in, I think some of these characters became available again, and I think it's also tying up a lot of stuff from his Fantastic Four run on this universe of Inhumans that he created and the Atlanteans he created. And I think what they're going to do is, the next issue, I hope, is the marriage of the last two issues and the world building they did prior to that.
Yeah, because I really enjoyed the stuff with all the alternate reads and the superhero supervillain team up that was going on to take the world back or whatever. But
you think Spider-Man's participation helps or hurts it, Nick?
I think it's logical, but do I think it helps or hurts it? I don't think it does either.
Yeah,
I don't like the way it feels now. It's always fun here and there over the years, but now like. Trying to see him fit in as a regular member, it's just, I don't like it.
The only thing I think that works is the fact that they now like him, like, oh, I'm so busy, I don't even remember what costume to wear, kind of thing. So, I'm on two Avengers, the FF, my solo thing. And
That's a little meta, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's funny, because everybody's talking about it in the real world, and they're just kind of making fun of the situation.
I don't know, I think they're getting ready for Sue to kill somebody.
Well, Wonder Woman and...
I've started to see her use the force powers and or try to use them in like lethal ways.
Use the force,
Sue.
Use the force, okay. Sue.
Ryan.
Oh, what's coming out this week or anything?
Anything.
Okay. Detective Comics for me. Everyone knows I'm a Batman freak, but Scott Snyder's Detective Comics. Despite how much I love Grant Morrison's Batman Inc., the uneven availability of that series is kind of... It hasn't waned the interest. I'm still... Batman Inc. is still the one I read first out of those two. Or rather... See, this was my twist on it. Actually, instead of reading the books that I love the most first, I actually save them to the end. So that's the last thing I read in my stack, because I'm always looking forward to that. So I figure, let's look forward to it for another, I don't know, 15 minutes until I finish the rest of my stack. Okay. But
just for me, the reason it's a little bit different is that I'm bringing home 20, 30 books
right.
to try to get through. I'm hitting the ones that either, for me, are the most interesting or, you know, that I have to read. I have to read Fear Itself. And then after that follows the ones that I enjoy the most. And then, you know, I get down to the Kazars and the... things like that
right.
just because.
Extraneous stuff.
If I put my favorites at the bottom, I'd never get to them.
Right.
I also put my wordy stuff in the back, too.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
That are just really dense.
Yeah. Right. No, absolutely. Yeah.
But, for me, Detective Comics, Scott Snyder's run has been phenomenal. I love what he's doing with Dick Grayson and sort of... I like what other writers have done with Dick Grayson and made him sort of the cheery Batman, but I also like Snyder's... sort of exploration of how Dick deals with the nastier elements of Gotham City, how he deals with these other villains and characters who really just don't care to fit the normal villain mold. You know, they're not out there just to cause a prank and laugh at Batman and make problems for Batman. They all have their own different things they're doing. You know, he started with the auctioneer character. I can't remember what his name was. But yeah, I mean, that guy's whole point was that he makes money off of selling supervillain memorabilia, and there was a character similar to that in GCPD in the like early 2000s, but he wasn't like mega supervillain, he was just sort of, you know, street level corrupt cop. So I liked seeing the expanded concept on that. I'm really loving the art. Jock's art is, it's an acquired taste. It's really angular, it's kind of scratchy, but I think it's really great. And is it Francavilla, the other issues, the painted issues, especially with Jim Gordon and his sort of detective work on whether or not his son is a homicidal maniac, is great. And that whole character arc, I really miss... I guess it channels the whole year one Jim Gordon-Batman duality that we got in that awesome Frank Miller comic book where both Batman and Jim Gordon were the main characters. And I feel like that's back in Detective Comics. I like seeing Jim Gordon be important and be a character. And I think Detective lately has made me feel like Jim Gordon. You know, he says that he's so close to this case with his son that he can't decide whether his son is a killer or not, and I feel like the way Snyder has written it, it makes the reader feel that way too. He presents you with the evidence, and he presents you with hearsay, and just lets you filter out what you think is important and what's not and make your own decision. So,
cool.
Yeah. If you like that, I would try the Gordon of Gotham miniseries. It's really good.
Yeah, you know, it's funny you say that because that popped up somewhere for me. I might look into that, Colin.
Yeah, they're at home. I just got bags so I can process the collection I have at home.
It's noir crime, you know, with Jim Gordon just by himself.
Oh, that sounds great.
It's really well written.
All right, yeah. Colin, let me know when that comes in.
Is that year one that you were referring to?
Yeah, Frank Miller's year one, yeah.
I agree with you, Ryan. That detective is fantastic. I really...
I'm 4 issues behind.
I really wish Snyder was doing Nightwing with the relaunch because I think... I love Dick Grayson, but I've never seen him as well written as Snyder because he really kind of got into his head of what would Dick Grayson think if he were Batman, you know? And I think the perspective he brings, what goes through Dick's mind, you know, like, you know, he has a confidence in his abilities, but he doesn't have confidence in being Batman. Like, is this the way Bruce would do things?
Right.
But yet it's also showing you that because Dick's been trained by the world's greatest detective, he's not a half-bad detective himself. And that art, for me, is just breathtaking.
Yeah.
The jock combination with Franco Villa, gorgeous stuff.
I don't remember if it was a single or a double-page spread he did a couple issues ago of Dick sort of catapulting himself out of one of the bat planes and just, you know, skydiving without a parachute down into Gotham. And that was one of the coolest shots I'd seen in a while because it wasn't just, you know, one image of Dick on the page. There were multiple of him showing him through his sort of like backflip, channeling his, you know, circus origins as he flies through the city. And he's just saying, now I know why Bruce always went through the city on foot. When you see it from above like this, I know why he went through it on foot.
Yeah. I love that whale splash page in the back. That was one of the best pages.
That was pretty great.
Okay. Shane.
Usually just the Green Lantern stuff pops up and I'll put them on. But the one that usually, no matter what other comes out, Green Lantern, Batman, just one comes on top is always going to be Booster Gold.
Good pick.
I don't know, it's like his cockiness and how he's actually saving everybody, you know, hundreds of thousands of times going back and stuff, and nobody has any idea, and they treat him like, you know, like he's just like second, third rate, like he's lower than the sidekicks. I don't know why, I like him. I like Skeets. He's funny.
Mm-hmm. I hope he survives Flashpoint, since he kind of got shot up in that first one. So.
Yeah.
No, he's in the cover of International.
Okay.
Cool. Okay.
He's the leader. Cool. But, yeah, I mean, the whole concept of...
What, Skeets is or Booster is?
And he can't be... he can't look good because it'll screw up his MO is awesome.
Yeah.
I knew about Booster Gold before I'd read 52, but I don't even remember what I thought about him before I read 52.
And 52 created.
Yeah, I like that they've built him up as a relevant character, but I like that he's not super popular to the point where everyone loves... I mean, everyone likes Booster Gold, but not everyone loves Booster Gold, so I'm glad to see people are...
Is it Morrison or Johns who did the Booster Gold arc in 52?
I don't know.
I want to say it was Johns.
Because I think Morrison did the Animal Man, the Outer Space one.
And the Batman stuff.
Yeah. But then Rucka did the Question.
Yeah.
And Wade did what?
Wade did the Lex Luthor stuff. Lex Luthor and Steel.
Okay.
He also did the Question. Or no, it was Rucka, never mind.
Rucka did the Question, yeah.
Jeff Johns co-wrote the first arc of Booster Gold. So
yeah, I knew that. I just wasn't sure if he was the... Because Booster in 52 was just amazing.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, somebody's chomping at the bit, so I'm going to let him go. Go for it, Joe.
Okay. My I wanted to talk about was Dickens Dark Wolverine.
What's Dickens? I thought it was Dawkins.
No, Dawkins a band from the 80s.
Well, sure it is. That's all I know. I'm rocking it.
D-O-K-K-E-N. Dickens, D-A-K-E-N.
Sure it's not Dakeen.
I highly doubt it.
It's funny because they've never really given a pronunciation guide. You know, it would be something as simple as having somebody mispronounce his name and have it say it. No, it's whatever, like, whatever. So, you know, because it's funny. When I see it, I say Dawkin.
Mm-hmm.
But just interesting that they've never really cleared that up.
Search. It was not on the Wikipedia page.
Okay.
And wasn't. Yeah, I mean, I was at work, so
then
I didn't get a lot of time. Anyway.
Yeah, right.
Well, we can check the OED, Nick, this week and see if there's some...
Yeah. Anyway,
is that in the back computer, Nick?
So DeKen.
He's mining.
He's mining. He can't.
I love DeKen because he's edgier and more experimental than the stories they tell with him are edgier and more experimental than the regular Wolverine. And basically everything about Wolverine that I loved when I was, 11, like the way he called everybody Bub and the way that he was 5'3", the way that he was just like a gruff, just like really gruff and rough. I mean, those things are all the things I hate about Wolverine now. Because like really, like all that is total fan service. You know, the fact that Jean Grey fell for Wolverine and, that he even put up competition with Cyclops, that's total fan service just because most fans look more like Wolverine, More fans are hairy and short, They're not tall and they're not cool like Scott Summers with his visor. But But DeKen, all right? DeKen is like almost purposely set up against that stuff, DeKen has a taste for the finer things, He's clean cut, he's an eloquent speaker, But like all of that, all of it figures into his personality as a manipulator. And that's really what drives the story, the way that he manipulates everyone around him like chess pieces. And in addition to that, the creative team, artwork by Giuseppe Camuncoli, Marjorie Liu, who was an established romance writer before coming onto this, and Daniel Way, who created DeKen back in Wolverine Origins. He stayed on board with the character for years now.
See, actually, I liked him, and it was after he first showed up. I didn't care, but it was when he got on the Dark Avengers and he started messing with Bullseye.
Mm-hmm.
I just really enjoyed
the
way they played that character. I was like, you know what? I'm rooting for this guy. So.
Well, he messed with the Fantastic Four on a manipulative level. Like, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
He gained their trust and played them against each other.
I just like the fact that he's fairly irredeemable and he's essentially a villain. And it's a villain book. His goals are villainous. There's nothing altruistic about anything he does. It's all self-serving, and he's going about it from a very different way. And the fact that he's doing a tour de force of the Marvel Universe has been, really fun too. That with some of the stops he's been making are some areas that haven't, had a lot of, attention recently.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Although there is one thing I don't like, and that's the uniform that he's wearing in his current title. It's kind of like bandages almost. What do you think about that, Nick?
Yeah, I'm for more of, this is why DC's costumes aren't going to do much for me. I'm for simplistic, iconic costumes.
Oh, sure.
And I think minus the bandage, he's almost got one.
Uh-huh.
With those things on it, it's sort of just, I don't know what purpose they serve, nor do I know what aesthetic purpose they serve.
Okay. Sean.
Spider-Man.
Spider-Man.
Shock.
Shock. So.
Amazing or the kids one?
No, The Amazing Spider-Man. And probably because that's the book that I started with as a kid. That's always, the anchor for not just my reading, but also for the hobby. So, and then after that, whatever big events going on. But, the Spider-Man books when I was a kid had Ross Andrew. And I know some people don't really like that art, but that was probably the best art for a kid at that age where you're reading the books. I like the Marvel House style because it allowed me to read other books and get more knowledge about the other characters and still stay with Spider-Man. Early on, it was fun. My favorite earlier issues were with the Spider-Mobile and Aunt May, Mary and Doc Ock, the original Jackal, Gwen Stacy clone stories, all the way up to issue 151, which was an homage to the Ditko cover with Spider-Man being crushed. In the water and all of that. Now, over the years, I know, fan popularity and criticism of Spider-Man has only increased, but I think that's more a function of more people are on the internet, and it's always been a flagship book for Marvel, so it tends to sell more issues month after month, year after year. Maybe not always at the top of the list, but it's always at the top of the pile. So for me, that's how I like to start off, each month is, every 2 weeks or whatever the cycle is at any given time.
So, and that's the one book I've consistently collected in single issues on, you know, since Spider-Man 95.
Mm. Wow.
So, and it's funny because I know I'm still buying, now I'm rebuying, you know, in the trades for two reasons. One, my comics are in, those comics are in a storage unit in upstate New York, and I'm not quite ready to ship them out to California until I own a house, because wherever I ship them to, I'm just going to have to hump them to the next place. So the Clone Saga trades that have been coming out, and you had mentioned you picked up the Ben Reilly one. Yeah, I bought it too. But I have all the issues. So I've been staying current with the new Spider-Man. I wasn't a big fan of the Switch, but, you know, over the years, there's been big switches in the story.
Which Switch did you not like?
One More Day, One More Week, Mephist.
Who's your favorite Spider-Man villain?
Man Mountain Marco.
What an obscure choice.
Probably because the tablet saga there with the Kingpin and Man Mountain Marco, those were the first kind of back issues, if you will, that me and my friends in my neighborhood were able to get our hands on. So those were the first issues that we actually traded amongst each other. So at any given time, we all had it, you know, owned it. I don't know, probably Eddie Cardinal. I don't know where he is now. I think he's a state trooper in Albany, but I think he's the one that ended up with him.
You hit on Ross Andrew a little bit. Would you say that he's your all-time favorite Spider-Man artist?
No, now it's probably Steve Ditko.
Oh, really?
And John Romita Sr. afterwards. Mm-hmm. But Ditko became an acquired taste because early on when I was a kid, I hated those books. They just looked so raw and rushed.
He had those little pinpricks in Spider-Man's eyes for pupils.
Yeah. But, they again, even when I was growing up, they had the little pocket versions. Uh-huh. And I think what they did is reset the type so you could still read them. So it was really easy to get up to speed, at least with the major, you know, Spider-Man was still almost, you know, 95 to 100. So you could, it was still attainable because they weren't doing weekly books. And you could get your hands on that stuff in the various issues. It was also around the same time Fireside started putting out the Origins, Marvel Comics, Son of Origins. So I loved the Spider-Man TV series because that was the first time I actually got to see Spider-Man. I remember the animated cartoons from the late 60s that became the early morning cartoons for the 70s. And, you guys know my daughter's Parker Jane, so we took Peter Parker and Mary Jane. So that's just been a character that's always resonated. I was kind of nerdy in school, kind of wished that I had some superpowers, or, you know, why didn't a radioactive spider bite me?
You gotta get more science fairs.
Well, and that was the sad part.
That's the one with the white kid that's Spider-Man, Parker or somebody, right?
Peter Parker.
Oh, okay.
The original Spider-Man, not the ultimate Spider-Man.
Don't go there, Nick.
And that's fine, too. You know, I don't
mind. Need trouble.
No, I won't start trouble. I don't mind them playing around with the concept of a Spider-Man and doing different things. So, I mean, I've liked the different Elseworlds stories that have come out of DC, so I'm fine with all of that stuff. And I've even become accustomed now to Peter Parker being single again and dating other people and kind of resetting the current cast of characters, the Flash Thompson without legs. Took a while, probably bad choice of words, to grow on me, but
it's cool though. I mean, don't you think it's like that? Finally, don't you think Flash really has like something very unique about him?
I'm kind of worried for him right now because I'm wondering what's. I mean, he can't be Venom forever,
right?
So, and I don't see that ending well.
Well, they'll just do like they did with Rhodey and just transfer his consciousness into a clone. Yeah, so he'll be fine. So.
Well, that's too bad. But I mean, I think Flash has become with that Venom series, and then what Dan Slott was doing with before, a really interesting character again that holds his own and has his own almost supporting cast. I mean, he's a cool character again.
I can't think of the guy's name, but the kind of the anti Peter Parker that's the new Hobgoblin or whatever.
Phil Urich.
Yeah, I like his civilian character. I just wish they had come up with a less recycled villain for him to become.
I agree.
Didn't
he try to be? Did you guys? Did you? Anybody here read his series when he had his own series?
Yeah.
But he was like a happier guy. He wasn't this angry.
This
character.
Makes no sense. This
no,
is
it doesn't.
Out of left field.
No, yeah, it is.
It's because of one more death.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
Was that
fair
part of the promise?
No.
So you they omitted it.
I'm just trying to think of a reason.
You get no prize for that. Good job.
I've got the first, the prequel and a couple, but I haven't really sat down and dug into Spider Island yet. I've actually been trying to keep up with Fear itself and Flashpoint, and I kind of hit my breaking point, so
yeah.
I'll be back to... You saw the books I bought this week. I'm mm-hmm. back, like, reading regular books yeah. again and just a couple of things on the side. But.
I will say, surprisingly, I really liked the first issue of Spider Island. The concept before it
yeah,
came
my,
out was kind of
yeah.
sketchy, but...
My only problem is there's going to be, what, 8 to 10 tie-in storylines
yeah,
and all that stuff.
I heard an interview with Dan Slott that they had... from the Acme podcast, from Acme Comics, which didn't win the Eisner again.
Those guys. They keep trying.
Every year. Jermaine actually went out to San Diego.
I remember he drove. I was reading his tweets.
Why in the world would you even want to do that in this day and age? But anyways.
Just take a bus. No.
So, again, I was kind of like, oh, wow, this is going to be a very long Spider-Man crossover that I'm just going to have to slog through until we get to the next thing. But after listening to the interview with Dan Slott and him talk about just the concept and kind of some of the fun he was having with it, it was almost contagious.
Okay.
So now I was like, this might actually...
I listened to a podcast, a Marvel podcast he did with them, and it made more sense, but it also scared me a lot when he started going, well, you know, we've been having this bedbug problem, and I decided to make Jackal modify the bedbugs. I'm like, okay, guess what? We're not having a bedbug problem here in Pittsburgh, so it's kind of a...
But it's national news.
It was national news 3 months ago. Yeah. It's not now. So that was my only concern.
Bedbugs are always cool.
It's been ongoing.
I mean,
for a guy that travels a lot, you know...
That's top of my list.
I'm always scratching. No.
It seems like one of those topical issues that there's a fine line between you hit the sweet spot of being just on time with your story and it resonates with people, and, you know, then there's the other side of it where you're just a little bit too late. And
well, how
like
long
you,
have they been building up to it, though?
Well,
feels like this has been coming for.
Yeah. It just seems like.
3 months?
I mean, like.
Hawkman never really took advantage of the bird flu.
That's because he didn't have a book.
Fair enough.
I just made a DC joke.
You did.
Zing. Part of my soul died. That's
what's
okay.
his origin? Oh no.
Yeah.
No,
what?
I won't go into that.
One thing I haven't liked about Spider-Man at all, and I've been talking about this a lot actually, but I just don't. I don't mind his like how he's doing this new career as being a scientist and everything, but he's been inventing such off the wall stuff lately that he really. Doesn't even need this company. I mean, it's like the last thing he just made was some sort of thing that cryogenically freezes you, and then it comes back to life after you push a button. You know, and that type of stuff. It just seems a little
rich by now.
Yeah, and it seems a little too far fetched for it. And
well, hey, patents take a long time. I mean, he's only been with them for a year. It takes a while to make your money.
I think he's set for a life with cryogenically freezing.
Han Solo hasn't been frozen yet. Yeah, I mean, this explains how Han Solo got frozen in Empire.
That was a long time.
That was a long time ago.
Yeah.
He's hanging on the wall in
Java,
in San Francisco.
Bo-shuda.
And maybe somebody else can explain this, but in the last issue of Spider-Man, he was talking about his suit. Now his suit that he wears can change into an outfit.
Right.
Yeah. And he said that he was trying to still modify the unstable molecules. I thought Reed Richards gave him that suit. Why is he trying to figure out how to...
He's trying to make shorts.
Why can't he just ask Reed Richards?
Because Reed Richards doesn't know how to make shorts.
Well, that's the wrong one.
He is Reed Richards. He knows how to make shorts.
I don't know.
He's fighting the worthy. He's fighting Ben as the worthy. So.
But that's my comfort book, Spider-Man.
Fair enough.
You know what I like about Spider-Man, real quick, is that at the end of it, I felt like I read two books.
Yeah, no, I'll give you that.
It's so dense.
Yeah,
I mean, it's like worth the money. I reread it sometimes. It's a solid book for, you know, more than I would say a bathroom visit.
Well, especially after
read them in the bathroom?
What?
That's what comics are for, right?
Aunt May really put it to him this time over the phone, though. That was pretty hard.
Yeah.
She basically you know, I mean, I
that was the one before.
Oh,
yeah.
the issue before, right? Where
the Betty Brandt thing, yeah.
Betty Brandt's in the hospital.
Which I just got very confused. Since when are they dating? I got
Flash
very
and
confused.
Betty are dating.
Flash and
why
yeah.
is Peter taking her out to movies?
He's her friend. They have a movie night.
He's that lost me. I was totally lost.
That was incredible. I think they established that.
This whole thing with Aunt May, though, she really did put it to him.
That was harsh.
I didn't really see that in her character at all.
Yeah, I thought it was a little out of character, but at the same time, I still thought it was awesome because, you know, that's...
Yeah, it was...
Very rarely do they ask a question that has never been asked. Like, nobody's ever asked Peter Parker or Spider-Man that question.
I don't really think that she would have... With her character, I don't think she would have actually said, you know, where were you? Why weren't you comforting me? It just seems like a really selfish way of Aunt May doing things.
That said, if Peter Parker isn't Spider-Man, he is a jerk to his friends. Do you know what I mean? Like, oh, you guys are down? I'm out. You know, like, just imagine, recast the whole story, but he's not Spider-Man. He's just doing stuff.
He's just disappearing in the middle of heels.
He would not be your friend very long.
Yeah. He's suddenly infinitely relatable.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, Adam, you're on a roll. Keep going.
Actually, everything that I've had, except for Flashpoint, I've actually really enjoyed Flashpoint.
There you go, fair enough. Run with
that. Let's talk about that the rest of the podcast.
But, you
know. No.
I don't have that much to say anymore about it, though. But it seems to have every end of the book has something to keep you going to the next one. And I don't want to compare it to Fear itself, because I've done that enough. But... It has that I can keep coming. It's always something new. But it really hasn't really went anywhere. It seems to be going in the same type of thing, that they're really collecting members of the Justice League throughout it. And then I think at the end is how they're going to form the Justice League, even though Reverse Flash messed it up. Somehow they're going to still form it at the end. And I think that's where they're getting at. But it really has a way of keeping you going on it, that there's always something new, like a new surprise at the end of the book.
Feel like the writers and some of the artists at DC are saying, well, since we have this new thing coming up and they've known about it, they're actually like, we can get away with a whole lot of craziness right now, and all the stuff we just bounced off the walls and really couldn't do, we can get away with for the next couple of months.
Yeah.
1 month.
3 weeks.
Well, what's left, but...
The new Superman, that one's the one where they're like, that just came out this week, the one where they actually did some stuff that they would not normally be able to do if there was going to be more that character.
Well, there's been heads lopped off, pinched off. Yeah. It's been a pretty violent ride.
Somebody dies in every issue,
Almost, it seems like. Or more than one.
I meant in the crossovers, too.
Oh, okay.
Every issue of every crossover.
I think Flashpoint almost sort of feels like Siege at this point, after reading number 4, that... We had all this build up, and it's going to end in like a 2-page battle.
Yeah, and I've been thinking that too, because it's the last issue,
end,
and it really hasn't.
Undo what they can't just beat Reverse Flash; they have to undo what he did.
I don't think they have enough issues to actually go through and undo everything.
I think the last one's a double issue, but still.
Oh, is it? I didn't know that.
I think I can't.
I don't think they have enough really to throw together everything that they need to.
But I still say I think it's been a fun ride.
Yeah,
that's all you can really ask.
The only thing I didn't like about the Flashpoint is like. Flash woke up in the first one, and he's like, oh, Professor Zoom did this. Professor Zoom, like, I was like, oh, okay, so he thinks he did it. But I was hoping it would come back, and it would be somebody completely different, like some kind of random mistake, like Booster made or something. But he just instantly, as soon as he woke up, was like, oh, this is different. Professor Doom did this. And he did.
And there was the thing when Zoom said that to him at the end of the Flash 12 or whatever. He said, I'm going to make your life miserable, and was off. And so when he realized something was off,
I think they tried to hide the villain. Maybe Professor Zoom's been screwing with you.
Oh.
Spoiler.
It did.
Hey, does spoiler still exist in the new DCU?
No. Yeah, spoiler. All this goes away. Did you guys read the back of this week's DC books tell you why you should read this August, even though it doesn't matter?
Okay, that's nice of them to do, because that was a lot of retailers were complaining about that. I'm like, really? Everybody's going to give up 1 month, one issue before the, at the end? I mean, come on. But a lot of retailers were, there was a lot of teeth gnashing about that.
I'm an addict, so I don't know how to stop.
Yeah, I think most... You know, are you going to not finish that storyline? I mean, that's part of the fun. That's...
Besides, these last issues are probably going to be worth more than the number ones. Oh, absolutely. Ones.
That's why I'm hoarding them. I won't be selling them.
Action and detective.
There's a good example.
Exactly. Yeah, perfect example.
Hey, I'm waiting for the 100-page spectacular. Is that...
Of what?
The G.I. Joe, and then I'm going to jump on. So.
Okay.
But that's because you've been pitching okay. it. So. Oh, awesome. I saw it. It was in the last month's
might
previews.
Have been. Yeah. Yeah.
So... They're I'll doing a 100-page, that's a reprint of a bunch of other stuff to get you set up. So I was like, all right, that'll work.
Okay. You good?
Yeah.
Mr. Jeremy?
I have a lot of carryover with what's on the list. I think one of the top ones on my list that not very many other people would probably say is Incredible Hulks. I love the way Greg Pak does the Hulk. I
good thing he's leaving the book.
Love the Eddie McGinnis art, but
no, that I like not the Loeb stuff, but I mean since Greg Pak took it back
Green
over,
Hulk, not Red Hulk.
Yeah, Green Hulk. But I think he writes the one of the things I love about the Hulk isn't Hulk Smash. It is that probably more than any other hero in the Marvel Universe, Bruce Banner is one screwed up human being. He is just a messed up guy. And that psychological thing that, you know, especially Peter David set up, you know, just, I don't know, I love the way he does this dichotomy between Bruce trying to be a hero and trying to do the right thing despite all of his issues versus, you know, the Hulk being the Hulk and wanting to smash. And I don't know, I'm kind of with the Hulk the way you are with Spider-Man. That was one of my favorites as a kid.
Yeah,
so, you know, I still get it. And, you know, the problem with the Hulk is... A lot of people don't know how to write him, so you get all over the place. I just happen to think Pak is one of the people that gets a better handle on him.
Yeah,
so,
I like that Pak brought back Smart Hulk. Right?
Yeah.
But it's not all Hulk Smash.
Yeah.
Hulk actually, he's intelligent.
And, yeah, he's almost kind of sinister.
Yeah.
You know,
some
it's
of
like,
my favorite Spider-Man issues are the ones where he has the team up with the Hulk up in Canada.
Yeah.
And Peter Parker has to go to J. Jonah Jameson to get him to pay for the flight up there.
But I love his Banner. I love his Hulk. I'm not a huge fan of the Hulk family. I think that as a a lot of other comics do it. It's this whole idea now you brand your thing, and I understand why they do it. I think Hulk works better as Bruce and the Hulk. I don't think you need his three children. I do think Betty as a Hulk is interesting just because, again, of the personality difference. Like, as the Red She-Hulk, she hates Bruce and hates the Hulk. And when she's Betty, she still loves him. So, I don't know. It's an enjoyable read, you know. It's not overly cerebral, but it's a fun superhero comic.
I hope he uses the current storyline to get rid of A-Bomb.
Yes.
He is a completely ridiculous character.
Yeah, I will not sit here and, you know, support the supporting cast members. But I think his Bruce and his
but
Hulk.
But
A-Bomb really
came
good.
Out of Red Hulk, the Red Hulk book. It wasn't a Greg Pak.
Yeah. I truly wish I thought he had such good momentum from Hulk to Hercules.
I'm impressed.
I know Loeb and McGinnis took a lot of the momentum out of that, but I was glad when Pak got it back.
I think they've been putting too many teams, like having just those single characters like the Incredible Hulk, and they've been putting them into a family all of a sudden. And they've been doing that with a lot of characters, like even
Everybody
FF.
Everybody has a family. It's all Batman.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to be Batman.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if you think about it, Hulk's had family pretty long. I mean, if you think She-Hulk, I mean...
But now they've added, you know, the Red Hulk, they've added
three
Thundra's... daughter and Lyra. Sometimes A-bomb. I mean I stopped I haven't picked up a Hulk since the end of War of the Hulks because I liked how it ended with the Bruce and Scar. I liked how that story ended, and is the thought of going on to more went, that was a nice wrap up. I could leave it there and not have to worry about going back to
where
it.
Is Scar?
Yeah, he's in the Savage Land, according to his miniseries.
Yeah, he's not in the Kazar miniseries.
Well, I don't like that Betty left and then came back around. I don't trust her.
Yeah, oh, no.
You don't trust her.
I think Hulk, though, works better, though, when he's, like, a loner. Like, because that's him. He's, you know, he doesn't want to hurt anybody, so he does his thing. But, I don't know.
Hulk?
So Jason Aaron and Mark Silvestri taking over the Hulk is arguably the largest announcement coming out of San Diego last week or 2 weeks ago. What do you think of that, Jeremy?
I mean, I'll pick it up because it's the Hulk.
Uh-huh.
I think I would rather Pack stay on it.
Is that Greg Pack, brother of Tupac? Tupac Shakur? No?
Wow.
Six pack? Six pack? That's the Hulk family now?
Joe,
six pack?
So, you need to back away from the microphone.
I mean, fit into that, though.
I think Aaron's a good enough writer. I honestly don't know how I feel about it. I'll get it. I do have to say, just looking at the variant covers, the Neil Adams Hulk is not very good.
No, he looks like he's smiling, like he's like happy Hulk. Like, yeah. Like Hulk just did, you know, smoke the joint and, you know, he's chilling. I mean,
Hulk fest.
He likes the brain.
I think Adams in general is not.
I will say the one thing that...
Oh, I thought this was Swamp Thing. This is the Silvestri Hulk.
Yeah.
I looked at it really quick. From the back of the Marvel preview. So,
I will say the one thing I like about Pack, actually.
Very veiny.
Ending the book was that he did it on his own terms, right? It's not a... He's not pulling a Brett Favre kind of deal where he just... I'm retired, I'm done, I'm coming back. And just... He went out on top. He's like, I'm done telling stories. I need a break from the Hulk.
Yeah.
Greg Pack did start his run with the best Hulk story of all time, Planet Hulk.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Oh, disagreement.
It's a good, great
not
story.
Not maybe best of all time, though. Future Perfect. There's a lot of good
stories. Anything Peter David wrote?
Yeah, there's a lot of good Peter David.
But to Jason Aaron, though, I guess that Banner is the villain and Hulk's the hero. That sounds cool.
Yeah.
How interesting.
How do you know that, Nick? The solicitor's classified.
Because there's classified. Internet chatter.
What?
That's classified.
It's classified.
Which, you know, kind of the way Pack has been writing it, it's not surprising because his Banner is just a little bit...
He's devious.
Yeah. Yeah, he's just a little bit... Like I said, he plays up the psychological problems very well. I like Banner as a screwed up guy. I don't know.
If we keep talking about classified things, you're going to block our podcast.
No. Okay. I'm going to jump in. Sean couldn't be here tonight because he's playing... hockey. Not this Sean, the other Sean.
he's here.
So he gave me a list of his stuff. So his number one is my number two. So I'll talk about him. Hey, now.
I don't know how that.
So let me talk about his for a second. But his top of the pile book is X Factor, and I have to agree with him on that. Peter David, it's just nice to have one guy on the entire run, even though it's not at 200 and some, since Marvel loves their odd numbering, but it's a heartfelt book. You know that he cares about the characters that he's writing. He has a different voice for every character he's writing. He's brought back some fun things like Longshot and Shatterstar, characters that, being that I wasn't reading Marvel in the 90s, I didn't really know who these characters were, and he's given us enough of them to flesh them out for me, so I understand who they were without the Leafieldisms and things.
That's fascinating because I'm a hardcore X-Men fan, and I was curious to see what you would say about a book like this because there's a lot of continuity that you don't, I guess you don't need, and you're telling me you don't need.
No, I mean, you understand the basics of Longshot's character. You understand the basics of Shatterstar's character. I mean, I've known Rain since the beginning, reading the first New Mutants graphic novel, so her I don't mind. I love Layla Miller. I didn't read her. I've never read House of M. I know. Sorry.
What?
It was before I opened it. I never got to it.
You should read it.
I know. In my spare time.
They're doing a story similar to that called Ryan's Flashpoint right now.
Oh! You beat me to that one.
Ryan's making me read this Grant Morrison book. So.
Superguys?
What? Superguys. He's saying how good it is. So I'm trying to get through that in my spare time, which.
That's
there
all
isn't
I've
much.
Done with my spare time.
I have to wait to get mine.
Well, yeah, sorry, you're getting yours signed.
You're welcome
special.
To come out.
Yeah, if I didn't have to work and had money for the plane ticket and all that other stuff, I would totally be there. For those of you who don't know, Sean is going to go to this awesome event. Is it in San Francisco?
Yep.
Isotope. My local comic shop is sponsoring it.
Is that Isotope?
Yeah, it's Isotope.
Yeah, Isotope Comics is doing this awesome night with Grant Morrison to promote his new book, and they're giving away like these limited edition only there. Grant Morrison lowball glasses that have like this awesome picture of Grant on one side and the other side says Super Gods. I was so jealous when I found out you were going because I want one.
I think it's a highball glass.
No, I believe it's a, maybe it is. I don't know. I thought it was a little ball of glass, but who knows?
Well, if I, Matt's already put in the,
he's put in the low ball bid.
Well, we've already coordinated with James to get another book and another glass. I'll see what I can do when I'm there.
That would be cool, but you know, I don't expect you to promise me anything.
But it's nice to hear we do read things outside of the funny books.
I do.
Yeah.
I'll sell you my glass for the right amount of money.
Jeez, come on now. But back to X Factor.
What was your favorite book?
Well, I'm getting there. I was leaving myself for last. Hey. We still got to get Matt. Everybody knows my favorite book, so it doesn't. It's not a shock. It's, you know, everybody's going to be, what? But
oh my god, I forgot to get one.
Okay, we'll take care. I got plenty. Oh shit! And it's scratch and sniff. It's probably the coolest book of the week.
It might be all used.
But yeah, well, we'll take one from the back.
I missed that.
It's on the front counter, man. But just back to X Factor, it's just been it's a smart book. There's a lot of thought into the plots. Just Peter David, I've always enjoyed Peter David, and I think one of my favorite things of the book is the little recap page, because he always uses the top to recap it in a fun way, and then the bottom part is normally something personal, which I've always enjoyed when you read his stuff. You know, all of a sudden you find out that his daughter won a bowling thing, and he really enjoyed, what was it, X-Men First Class, I think, was in last month's issue. I didn't read the one that came out today yet. But it's just, you feel a connection with the writer just through little personal touches like that, and I enjoy that.
It's like an independent book, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely, because when it ties in, it often feels forced. Yeah. Remember those, I hope they leave that one artist off who did the Secret Invasion?
Oh, we lost Nick.
Did we lose Nick?
Yeah, Nick.
I don't know how to get Nick back.
That's all right.
Oh, there he is. Don't hang up on me.
Sorry.
There was a mining accident. There
There's an uprising.
But I was saying how the Secret Invasion tie-in was just horrible. The art, I forget who it was. It was some old, Larry Stroman. Oh, I hated that.
Terrible, terrible.
That was just disaster.
He did the first issues of X-Factor.
I think in terms of X-Factor, it's one of my favorite books, and I think I wish Marvel would model more of their books off of the way they do X-Factor. Just let the guy write his stories, tell his stories. Don't force all these tie-ins and big universe stuff. Just tell a freaking story.
So was my.
I like that it's the book that never stopped. Okay, if you look at the way that it was collected, they didn't put numbers on it, and they collected it consistently in that in the regular size hardcover format. And I think that's because they expected it to get canceled. They expected it to fail, and it kept going. You know, people loved it. You know,
but I do want to say I think the current storyline's gone on a little too long. It's Rain.
Yeah, I'm not interested in wolves anymore.
Yeah, Rain pregnant and running is okay. We're like 6-7 issues into it. It feels like.
Yeah, and why did Shatterstar want to see a naked woman?
Who doesn't?
What about the older stuff? I pre-ordered the omnibus.
Okay.
X Factor.
Wasn't there?
No, it was X Men.
Are you talking X Force?
No. It's Peter David. And
okay. Okay, maybe. I don't know.
I could have sworn it was in last month's preview.
Okay.
Who was the team?
I don't know, but I just heard everybody talking about Peter David's X Factor. Peter David's X Factor.
Okay.
And then I saw the omnibus solicited, and I'm like, all right, I'll give it a whirl.
Okay, it could be. I don't remember. I don't remember that one. But yeah, it's just been, that's been one of my favorites as well.
It's a really emotional book, too. Yep. That's what's cool about it.
Yeah.
Sure. That's why I keep reaching for my iPad.
But like, the beats with, when Layla was lost and then all of a sudden they got reunited and you could see, you know, you could feel the emotion. That issue, the issue where he went and found himself, the duplicate that was the priest.
Oh, yeah.
And, the emotion of he went back to reabsorb him and how that was going to play out. And just...
Yeah, was it murder? Yeah. Is it, you know...
Even the baby, the resolution of the baby thing. I mean, just...
That was awesome.
Yeah, it's just been a great, consistent book. I concur with Sean. It's my number two, but everybody knows my number one. So I'll let Matt go first.
Wow. So this week... And I'm going to... Let me preface this like Nick said. My week-to-week thing changes a lot based on events, because I try to read, like, this afternoon, I read all of the Flashpoint
books. Yeah, that's all. Just about all I read last night was the Flashpoint.
B- But after that, I tend to pick by author, and right now, yeah, Scott Snyder is my way favorite author at this point. So I'd say American Vampire.
Oh, is, nice pick.
Is probably one of the first books I read every week. Just, and I hate vampires as a general purpose.
I think most people role. Do.
Well, I mean, just books about vampires. Oh, I don't care for. I don't read 28 Days or, you know, any of the other Twilight stuff.
How about X-Men?
No, too many vampires in that. Man, people are dropping that book. They said, oh, it's going back to Gershler? I'm out. I'm like, great.
Yeah, and that's where I'm at on that book. But,
we're almost down to single digits on the X-Men book.
X-Men's always been about vampires.
Well, I remember it was important when, what was it, Storm got bitten by the King of the Vampires and all that. That was back in the 80s. That was Claremont. But
yeah, so I think that's great. I think that his take on it and the universe he built very early on was fantastic. And Stephen King's writing of the backstory of the one of the main characters is good. And even I got scared when he announced the miniseries because I'm like, do we really need a miniseries? Because you always have to ask yourself that. And that's been fantastic as well. But I will say this week, my first book was The Punisher because Ruck is one of my favorite writers. Normally, I'm not a Punisher fan. I do like The Punisher Max, but Ruck writing The Punisher. The only thing that would make me happier probably is Ruck writing Miss Marvel. But, you know, one can dream.
Okay. Noir Miss Marvel.
No, think about Rucka's run on Wonder Woman. That was
one of my favorite runs of Wonder Woman too.
Yeah. And have him do Miss Marvel and Batwoman. Think about.
I just like
how
everybody has. You know, there's a fan for every character, even Miss Marvel.
Yeah.
Hell yeah, man.
You have one.
Thanks, Nick.
Oh, okay. Uh oh, getting some feedback.
Yeah.
I'm not liking this.
Oh, if I'm wrong, it was an ecstatic omnibus.
Oh, that I dulled in that. That,
sorry,
yes,
sorry,
that.
Sorry.
One of those is going home, yes. Even though I already have all the issues. Oh,
yeah,
it's
pre-ordered.
Is that the...
That's why, yeah, we were, Jeremy and I were sorting some books today. And one of the things was a bunch of those, and I just sat there and started reading. It's like, yeah, I have time for this on a Wednesday.
What'd you love about it?
I love that any character could die in any issue. I love Allred art. I've loved Allred's art for a long time.
Loved him on Yo Gabba Gabba.
Yeah, he was very good in that. Awesome. He was perfect for that.
Did he was in Chasing Amy?
What?
Allred? Well, yeah, he did some of the... Yeah,
he did some of the art in the covers.
Yeah. We were just having a discussion about that this weekend. And
He knows what a Nubian is.
But no, that ecstatics run, it was just so lighthearted and just, I don't know, there were no rules. It was like talking about, like we were just saying with X-Factor, they just let him go. There was no tying that into the Marvel Universe at all. You know, when you have a character like Dupe, who's, you know, the main character on the team, it's just, you go with it. You just say, this is ridiculous, but I'm going to read it. And you've pretty much lost a team member every issue.
Mm-hmm. The whole team died the first issue. They replaced
replaced, and then they all died in the last issue, including Dead Girl. So,
Ecstatic X and Sean's wives.
Poor Mr. Sensitive.
Yes.
There we go.
Thank you.
I think my favorite scene from the whole Ecstatics run was when they fought the Avengers, and Mr. Sensitive was up against Iron Man, and they're like, let's fight without the suits and see who's really tougher. So they both take their suits off, they fight for a little bit, and so Mr. Sensitive is like, oh, my skin, and then Iron Man grabs his heart, oh, my heart, you know? And it was like, you know, it was just like a, like, I never saw Iron Man take a suit off and then grab his heart.
Is it a good book or is it corny? It sounds
no,
corny.
No, it's not corny. No, it's a very fun book.
It's an independent book that borrows some of the Marvel ethos, but it read like an indie book.
Yeah.
Is that Omnibus the whole kit and caboodle?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it's the X-Force, then Ecstatics, and then there's one shots in there too.
Yeah. Yeah. That, oh.
But at 125, I had to go online for that bad boy.
But that's not the character Dwayne McDuffie created, right?
No.
No, that's Static Shock.
Completely different.
I get them confused.
That's completely different.
Ecstatic something. Yeah.
So what's your favorite book? We're in suspense.
Me? Oh. The Boys. since I've opened, that's been the one book that has always been my top of the pile. And it's great they're doing miniseries, so I get, you know, twice as much a month. But yeah, that was that wasn't the first book I read this week, because the first one was Flashpoint Batman. But it's just, for me, I just enjoy it. You never know what's going to happen in the issue. This one was a little slower, but it gave you a little more depth. Then there's some where it's just complete, insane, gross out. And, well, you need that every once in a while. You can only read so much, you know, Batman. And
how did you not know that was his favorite book? I think, like, the second time on
Well, Ryan I'm hasn't like, been shopping here enough for me to corrupt
him. Oh, it was, like, the second time I was here, you're like, I was like, man, I really want something different. How about well, the boys?
Yeah, but it's my standard answer.
I was legitimately waiting for you to say Mark Waid's new Daredevil so I could go, what?
Oh, okay, no.
yeah, that's
too early to call.
Too early to call on that. But, no, I mean, just for me... You know, any week that comes out, that's always...
That's awesome.
When the last issue came out, somehow I forgot to take it home with me, and I went into the bag, and I was genuinely upset. I'm like, how did I forget it? And everything else kind of paled, and, you know, it's like,
did you come back?
No, I didn't come back.
You only live 7 minutes away. That's not much dedication.
I think that's a good measure for your favorite book, though. If you
fact, he's sitting around the table with us, Yabos each
week. I think that's some dedication. Whenever I get my pull list from you, you know, I spread the stack out on the counter, and I have my phone out with my list, and I'm going through, I'm like, okay, that one, check, check, check. And then, you know, if one slips under the other one and I don't see it, I'm like, oh, where's that one? And then you, Colin, moves the cover over, and I see it. I'm like, oh, okay, and I... calm down, take a deep breath. So I think that's a really
for some
good
reason note. I trust you. I never really go and look through
that
them.
Was your first mistake.
I wouldn't, yeah. Don't trust.
I look through
trust
them,
but verify.
Not like if I'm like I used to go online Reagan. And look at the list and everything.
Yeah, next week.
But anymore, I don't even look at it.
Next week, I'm going to make sure you get a whole bunch of Young Heroes in Love back issues.
Ooh. I'll probably do. I notice stuff that's like. Not supposed to be in there.
The people who come in and just pick up their pulls and don't look, that weirds me out. Like, I understand it, but I'm just like, I understand that's how some people roll, but man, I'm like...
Do you know that's how I live my life, though, right?
I thought you guys...
I my books.
Oh, right. Yeah,
but Nick, you just auto-fill the sheet in with ones. I mean, it's hard for you
to... pull everything? Or, yeah.
So, can I ask a question that's not on the
what?
Not on your sheet here?
Yes.
I know we got a couple guys here that read all the superhero books that come out every month.
Okay.
Nick being one of them. So
probably the only.
I tried that, dude. I really I tried for 2 months to be that guy.
Some are terrible.
Well, no, it's not that. But what I'm finding is I'm reading the books so fast that I think I'm. I don't know if I'm enjoying it as much as when I read fewer books and can take in more of the book as I go. In some cases, it almost feels like a chore. Like, oh.
It is.
Wait, when did that happen?
No, it's interesting because I was talking about that with Jeremy today. Jeremy's helping me out, so he was here all day and we were talking. And I was talking about these new 52, and I'm like, so I'm going to need to read 13 a week to find out. You know, so that I can tell you guys about it. And the first week's already screwed because I'm not getting the books till Wednesday because it's Labor Day week. So I'm not going to be able to read that entire first week of books beforehand. And then I'm like, because I'm talking to DC, I'm saying we need digital previews. I need to be able to read these books so I can talk about them. And they're concerned about security and stuff. And I'm like, even on a normal week, I'm going to get them Tuesday and take them home Tuesday night. Well, even if I give 10 minutes a book, that's 2 hours I need to commit Tuesday night just to reading the new DC number ones, and that's, you know, 10 minutes, I'm not in sitting and enjoying it, I'm trying to get through it
exactly.
So that I know the plot points, I can tell people about the tone, and that's going to seem like a chore, you know, trying to read all that, as opposed to where, you know, I read 6 last night, and, you know, I wasn't up late or anything doing it, but, you know, I read them to enjoy them.
Are they afraid that you're going to, like, tell everybody what's
that,
going on?
That's the only thing I can
Wouldn't
guess.
Wouldn't that be bad business for the store?
Well, I mean, because there are stores out there, like, you know, as soon as something is sent to retailers, I've read stuff on Bleeding Cool before it hit my inbox. So I can see them being afraid of that. But I get all my Marvel comics. I can read most of them, whatever they put online. And I haven't heard of a problem of the stuff getting leaked. All the Image stuff, I can get up to 3 or 4 weeks ahead of time. They send them to me. It's just not a PDF, but I can read it. But you don't hear about that getting leaked. So I understand DC's concern, but I think they need to weigh their concern with my ability to sell. If this, I'm just putting stuff on a shelf, you know, I'm no better than Giant Eagle.
But I still think in that first month, it's not, you don't have to sell those books.
I don't have to sell them, but people are going to want to talk about them, and especially that first week. Well, even if I haven't been able to read it, because you know, I want to read the action
all
those, but I also need to read Hawk and Dove and Batwing, and if it's really good, to be able to say,
hey, like I did with the Flashpoint Batman. I said, you want to read this, and it's selling crazy. But I think, and even just Flashpoint in general, I think a lot of that was selling just from me being enthusiastic about it, telling people about it, saying you need
no
to read this.
Hype around Flashpoint.
Right, but I'm it's
zero hype.
Exactly. Yeah, but I created that.
But
hype.
There is tons of hype around this. I think the second month is where you need to be more in the know, so you can be pushing.
Yeah, but I'm more concerned with those smaller titles, the ones that might get overlooked.
Which was part of our thing. You know, I was saying it hurts me that you can't do that because as a reader, I have to read it all quickly enough so I can decide in October,
right.
You know, what's staying and what's going. And, you know, it's real easy to look at something like Action Comics, you know. Probably going to stick that with that one for a while. But Batwing, you know, right now, that's one of the ones I'm kind of getting because I want them all. But, you know, I have to read it fast enough to say, wow, is this something? You know, it's like I was saying, I'm hoping a lot of these issues are kind of done in ones with cliffhangers. Mm-hmm. Because if some of these titles take 3-4 issues for me to really understand what it's about, I don't have that much time with that many titles. Like, I want to like them, I want to get them all, but just realistically, you know.
And the one thing I do like is DC's commitment not to writing for the trade anymore. Because I think back to the Claremont X-Men, and you could read it, and the stories went on, but it wasn't the same story. It changed. That story ended, but something else picked up, and there was that other thing that kept going.
Yep.
Where now it seems to be, you know, it has to be 6 issues long, no matter what. So it'd be nice to just read something where, okay, that story, ended, and you had the little last panel blurb box, next issue, you know, challenge in Canada or whatever. It would be nice to get kind of back to that where you can just pick up an issue, but there may be something at the end to keep you wanting to get the next one.
It's probably still hung over from, and maybe, I don't know, I've never heard the term before, so maybe I'll coin it, which is the trade age. So
Yeah, the Bendis age. Yeah.
The
decompressed
Marvel and DC understanding that they needed to get their product into the Amazons and Barnes and Nobles and in a format that those stores would carry. And for a long time, that looked like that was going to be the way. Remember, because everybody's like, "Oh, everything's going to go to trade." Now everybody's like, "Oh, everything's going digital." I'm like, "Ooh." But I don't know if it'll ever be referred to that time. But that's when I just think about my own collection of trade paperbacks and hardbacks, and you know, prior to that, that stuff was rare when it came out,
absolutely,
and hard to get.
Yeah.
And if it came out, it let you know that it was something important.
Well, and something like, I mean, beyond you guys, but like I was talking about, the New Mutants started in an original graphic novel that was oversized. God Loves Man Kills, the X-Men storyline, was original. You know, and that was something that was, wow, and they came out with those every once in a while, but it was something really dramatic, and they've kind of gotten away from that. I can't remember the last real original graphic novel that they put out.
Superman
Joker.
Oh, yeah. Joker was what, 3-4 years ago?
Yeah. We got another one coming out this this December.
What?
Tokyo?
Did anybody read that?
Batman Noel was solicited.
Shocking. What?
Let's say Batman Noel.
It's opening. Yeah. Come on.
But it's not out yet.
DC reprinted some of the... I can't remember what. There were a couple...
They just did Legion Lost. They reprinted that. And that
that was in stories. Yeah, it was just a story.
There were other more independently skewed things that DC's had on its solicitations the past couple months.
Yeah.
That Teen Titans book.
Not even
is that coming out? You sure?
There's an ad for it.
Yeah.
It's actually in the regular comics. There's an ad for it now, too.
Is that out?
Yeah, so they must really think
Vertigo,
it's coming.
I mean, Vertigo's put out a lot of graphic novels in that crime line, but they don't seem to sell very well.
Well, they messed up the crime line because they shipped it as a hardcover shrink wrap.
Right.
So you couldn't open it up to look at it, and they were just completely overlooked. They blew that one.
The Samny, it's got like nails, like nail and I got see.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which one was that?
I don't remember specifically. I know what you're talking about though.
But I kind of had the same problem with those books as I had with that one I gave a shot from that kind of random.
Yeah, the Kickstarter.
The Kickstarter ones.
Blacksmith.
Yeah, which was neat. You know, cool story idea. Like, okay, but no characters to identify with. So when you finish reading the story, you felt kind of empty. It felt kind of empty or light. Yeah. Like I couldn't name any of the characters or anything like that at the end of the book. And that's again, I think why comics are for me more appealing, because you know, you get to know those characters and you can follow them.
So I guess the one thing that's been bugging me since I'm an OCD type collector is, how do you know when to drop a book? Like, what's
when you're not enjoying?
Somebody tell me.
Yeah, because I'm gonna say about Nick.
Nick, when you run out of money.
You know what I do? You know, we're on this idea of top five comics. Mm-hmm. I don't necessarily do a top five comic. I kind of sort mine into, like, my X-Men stack, my Avengers stack, and read it that
way. I do that too.
But invariably, there's always the stack of Marvel and DCs that end up at the bottom. And a lot of times, if I don't get to those quick enough that the next batch is coming in, they just stay at the bottom. Mm-hmm. And if it's something that's staying at the bottom, because...
That's a smart way to do it.
And because it if it changes, that's fine, you know, it's just a bad issue. But I have found that there's like 5-10 titles that I'm always putting at the bottom, and I'm like, why am I getting this?
Your enthusiasm's coming from somewhere.
To be honest,
if you're not enthusiastic about reading it,
right?
Yeah,
it's probably not. Yeah, that's a good way to do it.
Like, I want to drop Thor, but I feel like I'm going to miss something.
It's
that's
hard because
you, with every comic, I wish I could drop them.
Yeah, but you know what I found? I had the same fear. You know, I have to get every Marvel and DC title so I can do everything. But you kind of find out that once you start, you know, if I don't buy Heroes for Hire, it's But I mean,
don't you want to know where the Puppet Master is right now?
But yeah, I mean, it doesn't destroy the it's not the linchpin of the Marvel universe. You know, life moves on, and there's enough internet stuff out there now that if something big happens, I find out about it, and I come in and I'm like, hey, Colin, I haven't had Heroes for Hire in 3 months, and I hear all of a sudden. And I love Abnett and Lanning. I'm not trying to knock Heroes for Hire. That just happened to be.
No, I say, I don't know. I haven't read it.
Yeah.
It's not very good.
I've been liking the art. It's kind of. It has a Bronze Age feel to it. But with, you know, obviously the colors and everything.
And
it's Bronze Age characters.
And it's. I'm not necessarily trying to pick on it. It's just one that I noticed in the last week. I've had the last three issues at the bottom of my stack.
So you are talking about a book that has a cool creative team, but they're B and C list characters. Whereas Thor is, like, you know, one of the pillars of
Now, you're talking Thor or Journey into Mystery?
At this point, Journey into Mystery is getting dropped as soon as Fear Itself's over. Okay. And Thor, I don't even know if I can write out the Galactus story, but...
But you're still going to read Avengers, right?
Yeah, but then there's a solicit for the prequel to Fear Itself we couldn't tell you before in Mighty Thor number 7. And it's like, oh, well, I want to read that, so I might as well read 5 and 6.
But if you're reading Avengers, you'll have at least a loose idea of what... Thor's, you know.
Honestly, I could really care less what Thor does. I don't.
Well, then why are you so? If you could care less about what Thor's doing,
I'm conflicted.
For me, it's whenever previews comes out, I'm so excited, and then by the time the actual books come out, I've lost a lot of that excitement. So, I mean, really, I think that's something that's inherently wrong with comics right now, that excitement is basically wasted on the previews order form rather than the actual product when it finally comes out.
The top, if I want to put the top of my pile for everything, it's previews.
Yeah. I think Joe wants a Snake Eyes to Ken crossover. I'm guessing.
Oh, look at that
he
look.
Would fit in the G.I. Joe world fine.
That would be cool. That'd
maybe
be cool.
Scarlet. Scarlet next 23. Throw them all in.
They're putting these out more than one a year now?
Yeah.
Okay, that sucks.
Ooh, the pricing went up.
Yeah. Well, no. Yeah, that's full price anyway.
Yeah, you had the Rocketeer one, right?
Yeah.
That's what I saw at your
Do you guys do this with previews? Because everything else is solicited for previews digitally the week ahead of time.
Right.
You go right to the merchandise?
No. Oh, in the previews? Yes. When I get the previews home, the first thing I do is I go to the back of the book.
Because everything else I've already seen. Yeah. So I go right to the merchandise and I see what shirts I'll be wearing.
It's funny. I was so out of sorts this month only because the first thing I do is I go to the DC on comic book resources and I do a search on final so I can see what books are canceled. Well, obviously the last 3 months I haven't had to do that.
Everything.
Right. But Marvel never tells you when a book is canceled. You just all of a sudden go, gosh, I didn't order that for 3 months. What's going on? And then I look at the last issue and says the end. But yeah, no, I typically go right to the t-shirts and start looking from there back.
Yeah, I look at Marvel collected trades because I have to get my premium hardcovers. DC statues, and T-shirts are the first things I look at.
Yeah, I look at the DC statues, even though I've seen them already on digital, but I want to see them again bigger. And, yeah, I go, but I go right to the shirts and the toys and the, you know, the sexy Halloween costume versions of male characters. Have you been noticing that?
The what? The costumes? Well, it's because it's all for Halloween.
It's like sexy Wolverine.
Yeah, well, hey, who doesn't?
Hey, Joe ordered that costume.
This is weird.
Yeah. Two of them.
What's wrong with sexy Wolverine?
Oh, I see a hoodie you're getting. So.
That sounds like a new, like a series, though, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
Isn't that X-23?
X-23 sexy Wolverine. Previews.
We'll do previews another day.
Oh, wait. How much time we got?
We got a little bit. Well, I gave everybody five, but I think if we'd go around a couple more times.
We should have plenty of time since we did the first 20 minutes without it recording.
I just want to say I find it very funny after being called a DC store that I'm just going to... My top five were Boys, X-Factor, Walking Dead, X-Force, and then Flashpoint. That, you know, I'm not really a DC-dominated list.
I feel like a DC guy, and my top books are mostly Marvel. Yeah.
Uncanny X-Force last week. What a great issue.
Yeah,
what,
X-Force would have been my next book.
But, there, you know, that is what so many of the Marvel books are missing lately, at least in my opinion, is that...
Stabby? Was that issue?
No.
No.
Stop talking like that. Was the cliffhanger ending.
Yes.
That we kind of got primed with the Flashpoint stuff. Where we got used to the cliffhanger, and then all of a sudden you hit that last page and you went, crap, I want to read the next one right now, which is we need to get back to. And hopefully they don't do it in a fake way, you know, creating false things.
That's definitely one of the things that's made Flashpoint so good is all the cliffhangers.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that Uncanny X-Force with the whole Wolverine and Dark Jean Grey.
But I guess maybe only if you'd read the previous stuff.
Sorry.
Oh man, if you've read Age of Apocalypse,
you're so drinking that up.
But I've never watched the Red Age of Apocalypse, and I still thought it was
really awesome. Okay.
I still thought it
but
was.
But no, because that, yeah. That,
oh,
that's
and Wolverine had a daughter? What? I mean,
yeah.
I mean, Joe's going to ask her to marry him.
What?
Wolverine's daughter. Great, he wasn't listening. Nicely played.
Well, I wasn't saying anything inappropriate. I thought that they were...
No, you said stabby, sabby. That's why I was...
Stabby, stabby.
Yeah, I know.
But I thought that's what they were... They were interrogating someone. He was on a table.
Oh, okay.
Deadpool and Wolverine were... I thought that was...
Oh, that could have been, yeah.
Not to draw this out anymore, but just two that I noticed on my list that were, I think, a little esoteric that are Marvel. Does anybody read Black Panther and Criminal?
I don't think
anybody's reading Black Panther anymore, but Criminal has its set people that buy it.
Criminal I read and trade just because Brubaker's indie stuff like that is hard to read month to month, and it's just... Yep.
I've been picking up his newest one, the new issue came out like last week or this week. It's fantastic.
So here's my problem. I think I read too much because... DC books and indie books that don't have a recap in the front. It takes me like four pages to remember what happened in the last issue. Like,
Matt, I'm in the same place as you. Like, I can't read those books without unless I get it either in trade or like a recap.
Yeah, and that's Criminal. I just Criminal Incognito. I love all those books, but they're just something I have to read in trade. Yeah.
They read well in trade though, so yeah. I wouldn't worry about it. Like, they're not a lot of big. The cliffhanger parts are not—they're not that cliffhangery. They're much like, especially the first Criminal arc. Like, it's this tapestry of stories of intertwined that you really get a better feel for when you read all at once.
Yeah. And whoever said they're not reading Black Panther, man, you should really pick that book up because
it's a good book.
It just—I mean, I'm probably down to ordering five or six.
The art is amazing.
Oh, yeah,
Frank Avila.
And talk about a book that's its own corner of the universe that doesn't—you know—that's not being intruded upon.
But I think it's the way they presented that book. It's like, oh, this is going to take over Daredevil, and everybody kind of went, it doesn't make any sense. And I think people didn't give it a chance.
And the writer.
Yeah, but this was different, only in that it's why is Black Panther in New York City? He's the king of Wakandia. And
one of the things I thought was great, you know, we talk about... We talk about how previews and the internet kind of ruin surprises. Yeah. Well, one of the things I thought was cool is I think David List, the writer, has used that to his advantage for the story... Because one of the big things with Black Panther, Fear Itself, is this whole
American Panther. And I know when they announced that, the internet went crazy. Like, this is the stupidest thing ever. Why is the Black Panther dressing up like Captain America? And then you find out in the issue. It's not the Black Panther. It's a twist.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Some dude has created a villainous Black Panther that's dressed up.
Hatemonger. I wish they'd let him write more books. I mean, all he's writing right now is Mystery Men and that, as far as I know.
Yeah.
And I'd love to see him do some of the gritty. I mean, he'd write a good Punisher, for example.
It's definitely one somebody, if they like crime-based stories.
If you like Brubaker, you'd like.
And Panther. If you like, I will also say, if you like the Priest run of Black Panther, it's not the Priest run, but it definitely feels heavily influenced.
It fits in that universe, yeah. But you're right, it's pulpier.
Yeah.
Okay.
So just
Aaron, what other thing? What other book?
Adam.
What other book? It's not like there's another Aaron here. What other book?
I'll teach you to yawn.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm in high school again.
Wake up.
No, I'm just trying to. Adam, Shane, what's your
book? No, I'm just trying to keep everybody involved. I'm sorry.
The next one, which actually came out today as well, is Gates of Gotham.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed that. Really, I don't know really why I like it so much, but it's I love anything that goes, especially with Batman, that has a mystery to it, because that's one of the pieces of Batman that he has to have to make his character.
The movies don't.
That's true.
He's taking an aspect of writing that I enjoy a lot, and it's some that Peter Straub uses a lot, and it's the multi-level story, where you have the modern story, but also it's dependent on this backstory that they're also telling you at the same time.
Starman.
Yeah.
I think the interesting thing is that's not even really Scott Snyder writing that book.
No, it's not.
It's
his
plot, and it's Kyle Higgins writing.
And Higgins is doing another book that's part of the New 52, so it gives me hope.
He's doing Nightwing, and he's doing Deathstroke.
Okay, yeah, so that gives me hope. It's like, okay, I kind of like this guy, so. Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's been a really good book.
Yeah, that's a good book.
Did you pick up Severed?
No.
Oh,
Scott Snyder horror and image book came out today.
Yeah, turn of the century stuff, like 1920s-ish, 1900s.
I have a poster on the door.
Nah.
I haven't read it.
No.
It's a big severed hand.
But like when he signed his DC exclusive thing, like that was the one exemption he went and got was for this book.
Oh, the other thing, though, actually, that Ryan already mentioned it, though, was Detective Comics. And I agree with, what he said. It's just, I just love how they're putting Commissioner Gordon so much into this book. And mainly, I think this book is mainly about Commissioner Gordon right now. When it started back up again, it was his story dealing with his son was kind of an end story. Like, the auctioneer story that they had was going on, and then I think they had it afterwards. But now it's taken up the whole thing, and but it's been a good book.
Can I ask a question? Is there two Barbaras in the book now? I got super duper confused.
They always
like,
have
what
the her mother
like
is named Barbara.
Barbara Senior.
And Jim separated or got a divorce from her, and then married that detective. I forget her name.
Sarah Essen,
yeah.
Even priding myself on my nerderifically
who's Babs'
understanding on
Barbara.
No.
So she had a Barbara Jr.?
No.
Yeah, it's weird.
Technically, Barbara Gordon Oracle is Jim's niece. She is his niece who came to stay with them after her parents, I believe, died in a car accident or something, and then he just sort of adopted her, de facto adopted her.
Wow, that's when Oliver came into the Brady Bunch.
Yeah. But I did the same thing when I was reading, because
I kept going back and forth, and I'm like,
how's she walking? Like,
right.
Like, that's what's supposed to happen to
first of all, why is she walking? Why does she have, cheekbone-length, dark hair? What? And why is she staying at a hotel? Yeah. And I went back and forth, and I realized, it's his ex-wife. And I think we all went to the conclusion of it being Oracle because that was the logical progression that he'd set up. And he gets there. He'll get there eventually. And then
this is not a spoiler.
It's really not. He'll get there eventually. But yeah, I had the same problem. I was taken aback and I was like, who is this? And then like halfway through the issue, I was like, oh yeah, because they got a divorce. It depends on what continuity you follow. Huh?
Well, if you...
I think it's either Long Halloween or Dark Victory. Yeah, Jeff Loeb's Dark Victory. He says that
they'd been going to marriage counseling, but she left and took James Jr. with her because Gotham was too dangerous.
I seriously thought it was a flashback to the Killing Joke, and
that's
I
thought.
Wait a minute, that didn't happen in a hotel. Like, and I was trying to figure out what the heck was going on.
The main story that I remember that they mention her a lot in is Year One. Because she's his wife when they move there. Right. And then they have James Jr. And that kind of now explains what you're saying about the niece, because Barbara, Batgirl, she wasn't in that book at all.
No.
But James Jr. was, and he was the son. Yeah. So that explains why one's older than the other.
I believe there was also an issue of Gotham Knights in the 90s. I think it was Devin Grayson that wrote it, which she needs to write more comics. I don't know where she disappeared to.
But DC's trying to get a hold of her.
She better. Or is it better?
Detective had that little... I actually posted a link on my Facebook page about it to another article that talked about that. The derivation of Gotham being saved by goats.
Yeah. And you know what?
I wondered why you had goat people. That freaked me out a little.
Snyder commented on
friends
that.
Of mine that like goats.
Snyder
you San Francisco people.
In an interview really close to the beginning of his detective run, he talked about how he had gone into that etymology of the word and he wanted to play with that. And I was kind of disappointed that I'd read that interview. I was kind of disappointed that he'd come out with that in an interview so early in his run, because it didn't pop up until a very recent issue.
Right, but I didn't read the interview.
Okay, so see, I read the interview, and I felt like I wished that I could go back in time and erase my memory of reading that interview so that I would kind of get that take on it from the issue, not from him sort of justifying why he wanted to put into it. And this is kind of, I think, Colin, you'd mentioned about, you know, stop reading. I think you said to Sean, stop reading stuff online because you're ruining your comics. And, and you meant it jokingly, but at the same time, I don't read as many interviews now because I don't want to ruin that surprise. Like, I don't want to know why Scott Lobdell is going to throw out half of his script because the art came back and he wants to change it, because I'd rather just read it as it comes and be surprised at the change.
That the Scott Lobdell Teen Titans interview made me feel better.
Well, yeah.
The first one did. Right, yeah, I agree. Absolutely, I agree.
Do you remember when I posted the link to the summer goat camps?
Well, I remember, but it was just funny when you posted today saying, this is for my goat people, and I was just kind
of
like...
A friend of mine actually has a working goat ranch outside of Morgantown, and one of my friends in San Francisco, when she was younger, had three goats.
See, I flashed to Saturday Night Live Goat Boy, okay? That's what I...
So I think the cool
you're
going to
get one for the store.
About this detective run, I think in 6 months when it's out in trade, this will be something I hold up to and say, all right, you want to read Dark Knight Returns...
Yeah.
You want to read Batman Year One, you want to read this. I really think it's going to be that quality of a Batman story that will, for years, be saying,
And
this is a quintessential Batman book.
And you know what's brilliant about it? It's not Bruce.
Yeah.
It isn't.
I mean,
he's not even in the book. He doesn't even appear in the book.
Yeah.
It'll probably be the quintessential Dick Grayson Batman book.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah. By far.
Yeah, see, I mean, I've also enjoyed, especially like Morrison's Batman and Robin. I enjoyed
that was good,
right? Because with those, I really enjoyed the play between Damian saying, you know, you had Dick unsure of himself in the role, and Damian basically saying, "Fine, I'll wear the costume." You know, I'm 10 years old.
It's a Robin that wanted to
give
be
me
Batman.
The yeah, give me the costume.
My favorite part from that run was in the second issue. Morrison has that little sort of in medias res jump forward in time moment at the beginning when Dick is just sort of sitting in the steps in the bat bunker, and he's got his mask off, and he just looks so... like someone kicked his puppy, and Alfred's like, what's wrong? And then they show you what happened where Damian quit, and then they go back to it, and Alfred has that great speech where he says, think of being Batman not as you have to be Bruce. Think of it as playing, like, King Lear or James Bond or something. You're just playing a role. And if you can be that in your own way and bring your own flavor to it, then it works. And I think that's why Dick as Batman works for so many people, because they're not trying to make him Bruce.
Yep.
That said, the Batman 666 issue changed the way I read Damian from that point on.
Yes.
Because I actually did read him as a tragic character, knowing that, you know, potentially that's his fate.
It's actually, I think it's cooler to read it in the order that came out and then go back and read it after you've read, like, Batman and Robin. Because there's some characters that pop up in Batman and Robin that he started in 666, like Flamingo's there. And
oh, okay.
Yeah.
The only thing that throws me off about that is how Batman Beyond fits into that, because they were trying to fit it into it in one of the books at the end of the book.
Yeah, 700.
I can't, was that it?
Yeah.
And I don't understand how all of a sudden Bruce shows up again.
Yeah, like, hyper time. Oh, God.
I wouldn't hurt yourself too much.
That's the thing. Like it's just
you're trying to absorb a cartoon into you know.
Well, that's what they're doing. I don't understand why they even tried to do
I think
that
it was
because
just
it kind of
cool
throws off what they're doing.
Batman 700.
Yeah. Just to have it.
Yeah.
I would like to write a term paper about hyper time.
I'll give you a chance. I'm available to help. What? You're available?
I'm available to help.
All right.
I can navigate you through those 0 hour issues.
I feel like you and I are kindred spirits from across the. Digital.
Do you have nerd tattooed Twitter inside then. Your lip?
I don't.
Nick
I know
does.
He does.
Yeah, nice.
I'll send you my ideas, Nick.
Yeah. Okay,
I have a Hawkman tattoo too. So.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Do you really?
I have. Yeah, I have.
No, we don't want to see that.
For Fantastic Four.
I'll wait till we're done
Batman,
recording.
Captain Marvel and Hawkman.
Oh.
And the Marvel and DC characters.
So. Okay, real quick. So I know we're running low on time here. Let's see. Yeah, not really. But anybody else, any other books that haven't been mentioned that you particularly enjoy?
Caligula.
Fair enough. I know Chad is a big Caligula fan. And that cover, like you said, both covers of this week are spectacular.
Yeah, I had trouble picking a book cover.
Planet of the Apes. I'm still loving that book.
Cool.
Absolutely.
I've heard a lot of people in the
shop
talk
about
that.
Book.
Good. The movie looks great. And I'm excited because the first trade is $9.99.
Yeah,
to coincide with the, or I don't know if it's coinciding with the
it's
movie.
It's the same week as the movie, I think.
And the next issue. So you,
yeah, it's
so
a dollar.
If you haven't
so,
been
yeah.
getting the issues, yeah. you can.
And Colin needs to call the guy because
he's
2.5 hours away.
What?
Yeah, I got to get in touch. Well, I'll call Chip. My drinking buddy.
I'm into New Mutants that I doubt anybody else is into.
I'm loving it.
You know, I want
New Mutants
to.
Is great.
I have them in the. Because my. I used to grab the books and put them in a bag and take them in my backpack, and it actually grew to a short box. But I have them all in my short box to be read. But
yeah, like,
as soon as I have a free week,
this
it's
last
a solid
issue.
Team that each of the characters is going through different things. They give you a little bit of time with everybody, and it's really cleaning up some corners of the X-Men universe. If you're a continuity fan like I am, that really is pretty helpful.
Cool. My one concern was I think on the most recent one, maybe the one before, there was Sugar Man,
yeah.
which was the one part of Age of Apocalypse that I didn't like.
Yeah, the characters that made it through Dark Beast.
No. But when I saw him on the cover, that almost made me go, okay, maybe I don't want to read this. So
I don't know if
Sugar
I like.
Sugar Man's terrible. So yeah, I get you.
I don't know if I like the therapy session this week, but other than that, it's been really good.
Yeah.
Is anybody?
But it's, at least it showed you where everybody's at, like in their.
Good
you,
point.
You know what I mean? Like where the team's at. They look like when they fight, they seem like they're a pretty well oiled machine. You have them not fight, and they're all broken.
Is anybody besides me reading Rocketeer Adventures?
I got the first issue.
Trade.
Yeah.
You know what? It's funny. I keep selling out, and I can't
really?
Get more. And it's one of those.
Really
and I'm not super concerned, only because it seems to be just a bunch of one shots.
Well,
seem,
well, it's
no. I'll get it. I'll read it in trade.
It's more of like a DC Presents or Dark Horse Presents book.
Yeah.
It's a lot of short stories.
Vignettes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And they're not even stories. They're nothing moves the character. You don't learn anything new about the character, or.
But that's kind of what I like about it. It's just fun. Like every issue is fun, and I don't look at the solicitations because I don't want to know who I'm going to be writing about. But like, I thought it was really cool. I picked up issue 3, and I was like, oh, Mark Waid wrote a story. I didn't actually really like his story that much. At the end of the story,
I think the thing about that series is cool is just to get an appreciation for how far-reaching the Rocketeer and Dave Stevens are because. The list of creators, I think, that probably found out about this project and said, please sign me up, please.
No, like, I love
it's just
Darryl Cook. And
yeah.
That was a great
it's just,
story.
It's just cool. You just look at the names and, wow, you know, all this for the Rocketeer. Mm-hmm. It's kind of cool.
I was like, I don't know. Personally, I think that would have played better to me to come straight out as a collection or as the a hardback.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's English.
Yeah. This is so they can make money on it twice.
Yeah, absolutely. With hey, it's Dynamite. You got her 1 in 10, 1 in 25, 1 in 100.
I saw that. I
have those Alex Ross
covers
too, right?
I do. But it's a great series. I think it's cool. I like seeing all the different creators' takes on, and of course they're mirroring the movie, and I'm sure the comics. I haven't read Dave Stevens' original Rocketeer comics. I know everyone's going to slap me.
I have it in three formats, so I will bring
you
one.
The artist edition, the original, and
now I have the artist edition, the omnibus, and
the issues?
Just the regular hard.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
I haven't read it either.
It's on my to-buy list, so it's something I'll get around to it.
Joe F.
Oh, man.
Close to wasn't prepared. 8 miles from the microphone
now. He only
now.
Has one dissertation.
Oh, I'm really liking young Dokken.
Deken.
Actually, you know, the book that, a book we haven't talked about is the DMZ.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. Yeah.
And I love that book, but I'm also about ready to see it wrap up. It's kind of moving towards a conclusion.
Yep. It is. They've announced like 8 more issues maybe or something like that. 70.
There's a few more. Now, that's one that I only read in trade. People told me how great it was, and finally I'm like, okay, fine, I'll take the first one home and read it. And the next day took 2, 3, and 4 home, and that one is very, very good.
I think that's one of the few comics I will ever sit down and reread beginning to end again.
It kind of ran its course for me. I mean, I had the first, second, and third trade, and I kept waiting. It felt like, for me anyways, it felt like it needed to wrap up sooner. Like, I was already kind of, okay, I get it. Mm-hmm. I don't know how much more we can do in this world and really keep it interesting.
Like, I think we've gotten to the point where the characters have evolved to a point that the story is ready to conclude, you know?
Or it needs to turn into something else.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's still a good story to be told about Matt and Z. I really think they need to wrap that up.
Yeah.
And I think they're going that direction from the last issue I read, but...
Okay.
I got a book that's ongoing that no one's reading that like a lot.
Okay.
Doctor Who.
You know, I want to. I just, I'm almost, the trade just came out, didn't it? I want to, but it sadly...
It's okay, Colin, you can.
No, it's one of those that just wouldn't make
it's all right.
Thank you.
I know, it's like, it's a book you don't need to read.
Yeah, that's how exactly.
But it's fun, and it's, they're fairly self-contained. It does capture the flavor of the current Matt Smith Doctor Who.
One of my problems is they put on the clearance list from Diamond all these hardcover paperback books, if that makes any sense. They're little hardcover books.
I get them. The little kids, like teen books for Doctor Who?
I don't know if they're teen. I mean, I guess they are. They're just, it's not fan fiction, but it's just they're novels.
Yeah, they're non-canon novels. England, like...
Yeah.
The merchandise for Star Wars in the 70s was toys. The merchandise for Doctor Who in the 70s was books.
Yeah, so... But
they continued that with this.
And they're all sitting there at home, and it's like, I want to read them, but I...
I have a bunch. They're all pretty fun.
Yeah. Shane, anything besides Green Lantern?
Yeah, the only two series I read besides DC stuff is... I'll read some Star Wars. I read True Blood. I don't know if anybody watches the show... The books are pretty good, as long as you know at least the gist of who the characters are. I have no idea where the story falls in the canon, like where seasons or whatever. I have no idea. It's just they're all their own original stories. The characters, you know, they talk, they act just like the ones they do on the show. They look like them. They have the same personalities, and it's just if you like the show, just you know, pick it up, read it.
Cool. I just want to hit Sean's other things that he had on it. Secret Six. He's bemoaning the loss of Secret Six, but I think it'll be back. He also had the Walking Dead trades, Scalp trades, and Lock and Key trades. And I agree, Walking Dead, I started reading in trades just because I was so far into it, but now that I have to read it, I can't wait any longer. Scalped we did as one of the very first book club. I've never gone back to it. Not that it wasn't good, just that's too much on my plate. Yeah, and Lock and Key, you know, I read the first issue, and that's as far as I ever made it on that, and maybe I should give it another shot.
I read the first two volumes of it, and the second one, the first one was fantastic. The second one where they had the key that unlocked the dude's head, and people were climbing in and out of his brain, I was like...
I mean, starting. No, it's okay. And, well, that wasn't like really. I was.
Well, yeah, the second one was called Mind Games. So.
Oh. Yeah, it just kind of got too out there for me.
Okay, Sean.
No, I think I'm all talked up.
Okay, Matt. Okay, well, we're running out of time. We were going to talk about Captain America the movie, but we're going to have to get to that next week. So thanks
Hail
for
Hydra.
Listening. Hail Hydra, yes, very nice. Yes. Nice hat, Nass.
Hail Hugo Weaving.
Now I can go get my strawberry shortcake.
Okay, so we'll talk to you guys next week. See ya.
Yeah.
wait a second, man. What do you think the teacher's gonna look like this year?
Teacher.